Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's message is presented by Ken Holsberry, the preaching minister at the 10th and Broad Church. Let's tune in now for Ken's message.
Well, last week, as we are in our sermon series on the Holy Spirit, last week we specifically talked about receiving the Spirit, language that especially John uses, but is used all through Acts, all through Paul's letters, receiving the Holy Spirit, actively receiving the gift that God has given us. And as we go through Acts in our class, and I encourage you to stay for class afterwards, as we go through Acts, we're going to see, and you already know, that the Holy Spirit showed up in some really powerful, dramatic ways there in the book of Acts with the church and did wonderful and amazing things. And Paul was no stranger to any of that. Paul was a part of that. But when Paul writes in his letters, the thing he writes most about when he talks about the Holy Spirit is the work, not that the Holy Spirit does outside of us and through us. He talks about the work the Holy Spirit does in us, especially the work that the Holy Spirit does to make us like Jesus, to make us holy, because one of the most powerful works that the Holy Spirit will ever do in you is that He is able to make you holy. Holy Spirit, come in this place, fill our hearts with your abundant grace. Let our tongues proclaim your praise. Holy Spirit, come in this place. Guide us, Lord, with your love. Teach us, Lord, your holy way. Fill us, Lord, with gifts from above. Let your Spirit settle in this place. Holy Spirit, fill our hearts with your abundant grace. Let our tongues proclaim your praise. Holy Spirit, come in this place. We are yours. Please fill us now before you, Lord. We humbly bow in this place. May your presence be. Fill our hearts with your abundant grace. Let our tongues proclaim your praise. Holy Spirit, come in this Father, this song is our prayer. In every way, Lord. In every way that you have in mind for us. As each of us bow before you. As we offer our lives as living sacrifices. As we confess our sin. Would you fill us? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. The great passage in Ephesians chapter 1 begins, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ." Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. Would you just say that last one with me? Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. Praise God. Praise God. Before the foundations of the world. I don't really understand that. But before the foundations of the world, God loved us. He chose us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what did he choose us to be? To be holy. He chose that when he looks at us, he would see no fault. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you, Father, for every spiritual blessing. It is God's decision that we will be holy. Can you just let that even begin to sink into your mind and into your heart and into your soul that God, and when God decides something, do you think that it will happen? When God makes a decision, do you think that he will see that it is fulfilled and comes to be? God has decided that those of us who are in Jesus Christ are going to be holy. And that we're going to be without fault in his eyes. And the only way that is ever going to happen is because God is going to be the one to make it happen. Now, like Paul, when Paul preached the gospel too strongly, the reaction always was, but wait a minute, does that just mean we can sin? That's how you know you're preaching the gospel too strongly, is when people start saying, but that's just so good. Does that just mean we can do anything we want to do? And when I say to you this morning that the only way you're ever going to be holy is that God himself, the creator of the universe, the one who's decided that you're going to be holy, the only way it's going to happen is for him to make it happen. That doesn't mean that you just get to go off and do whatever you want and sin. Don't hear me saying that. But boy, please hear me preaching the gospel when I say that. It is through the Lord Jesus Christ that our sins are washed away and that in his eyes, we don't have a fault. We are holy, but we cannot make it happen. There's no way that you and I can make it happen. He is the only one who has done it, is doing it, and will do it. He will finish what he has started in us. He has done it through Jesus. He gave his son. And when we receive his son, he takes our sin and we get his righteousness. The great exchange. He takes our sin. We get his righteousness. And because of the righteousness of Jesus on us and in us, God can look at us and see no fault. Because he sees Jesus. Hallelujah. And thank you. We're going to go back to Romans chapter 8 this morning. Romans chapter 8. Our study through Romans chapter 8 was really in many ways transformative for this congregation. And I had been working on some Holy Spirit stuff for a couple of years, but it was our study through Romans 8 that made me decide now was the time to preach and to teach these lessons, because the Spirit is all through Romans chapter 8. So, how does Romans chapter 8 begin, church? We know this. It's going to come on the screen to remind us, but I want you to say it with me, read it with me like you mean it. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Let's say it again. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. And just like we said when we did this several months ago, when God says no, no means no. Are we no longer condemned because we no longer sin? Are we no longer condemned because we no longer do any wrong? No, we know that's not what it is. Then how is it possible that there is no condemnation? It goes on, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. There was a time in all of our lives when we were under the law of sin and death. And because of our sin, we deserved death. But then Jesus came. And because of Jesus, there's a new law. And it's not a law of sin and death. Because of Jesus, there's a new law. And it's the law of the Spirit. It's the law of life. And that's one of the things that we learned about the Ruach of God when we studied about the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. The Ruach, the wind, the breath, the Spirit of God. What does He do? He always brings life. That is literally what He does, is bring life. He cannot bring anything else but life. He is the one who was hovering over the waters at the very beginning of creation. He is the one who breathed life into Adam. He brings life. God's Spirit produces life. And so the law of the Spirit is a law that doesn't give death. It gives life. Verse 3, for what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh. You see, the law itself, God's law, there's nothing wrong with God's law. God's law is perfect. God's law is good. God's law is holy. God's law leads to righteousness. The problem with the law wasn't the law. The problem with the law is us. Our flesh, and that's going to become an important word here, as you know, in Romans chapter 8. We are weak in our flesh and can't keep God's law. So, what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. He came just like us in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. Jesus came in the flesh. And in His flesh, He perfectly kept God's law. And we know one of the ways He did it is because He emptied Himself and God filled Him with His Spirit and empowered Him. As a model, as an example for us, this is how it's done. We can't do it our own, but with the Holy Spirit in us, we can keep the law. I'm getting ahead of myself. Right now it's Jesus keeping the law. He did it perfectly. And so He was an unblemished and a worthy offering to God for our sin. The verse goes on. And so He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us. There's almost like a pause there. Who is the us that this righteous requirement of the law is fully met in? It's us who do not live according to the flesh, but who live according to the Spirit. And so what Jesus did, this new law of the Spirit, what Jesus did is He lived perfectly and died and was a sin offering for us. The us is those who, in following Him, no longer live according to the flesh, but we live according to the Spirit. And there's a big, big difference between those who live according to the flesh and those who live according to the Spirit. Verse 5 begins to explain that difference. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. We all know exactly what that's talking about. We know what that's like. Every single one of us know what our flesh desires. And there's some real consistencies in that. But then also every one of us are tempted in some very different and specific ways. But those who live according to the flesh are those who are setting their mind on what that flesh is desiring. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit is desiring. And we know also what that is. And so we know this battle that rages in us between the flesh and between the Spirit. And the battle is very, very real because we are of the Spirit and we are in the flesh. We're of the Spirit, but we're still in the flesh. And this is a battle that we want to win. Because Paul goes on to say, the mind that is governed by the flesh is death. But the mind that is governed by the Spirit is life and is peace. And so again, there's this stark difference. There are these two options that are laid out. Following the flesh ends in death, and following the Spirit ends in life. Verse 7, the mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. So I hope you're rehearing this. It's not just that our flesh doesn't submit to God. It's that our flesh can't submit to God. It's not that our flesh just doesn't please God. Our flesh, it's impossible for our flesh to please God. It's impossible for our flesh to submit to God's law. It is impossible for the mind that is governed by the flesh to submit to God and to please God. And so we're not talking here about a matter of trying harder. We're not talking here about a matter of understanding better. We're not talking about a matter of, if you'll just give me a little more time, I think I'll get it. What we're talking about is, if we're in the flesh, and if we're governed by the flesh, and if we're pursuing the flesh, it's just impossible to please God. To obey God's commands. To submit to His laws. And that's honestly one of the reasons it's ridiculous for us to expect non-Christians to act like Christians. It's impossible. It can't be done. You cannot live God's way without God's help. You can't live God's righteous life without His righteous Spirit in you. And so a person who has not received the Holy Spirit cannot sustain a life of obedience to God. And that's why lost people don't need a lecture. What they need is love. They need someone who will love them so much that they won't lecture them and give them another lesson, but they'll teach them the law of the Spirit. They'll teach them life in Christ. They'll introduce them to what Jesus has done for them and bring them to a place of believing in Him and of receiving His Holy Spirit so that for the first time in their lives, they actually have the power to do what God wants them to do. Paul goes on in verse 9. You, however, you're not in the realm of the flesh. You're in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone doesn't have the Spirit of Christ, they don't belong to Christ. See, you and I, we've been called out of the realm of the flesh. And we've been caught up into the realm of the Spirit. Because Jesus caught up with us. And He's in us. And He's with us. And we exist in a different realm now. And it is as real, if not more real, than the realm of the flesh. The realm of the Spirit. That's why that second lesson in this series, we talked about seeing the unseen. We've got to be able to see the unseen, to live in the spiritual realm. Even though we're walking around in this flesh, we've been called into something greater. We've been called into the kingdom of God. And it's in that kingdom that we belong to Christ and that He is in us. And so Paul goes on, if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. Our body's subject to death because of our sin, But the Spirit gives us life because of His righteousness. And we still live in this old body for a while. And this old body is going to be subject to the law of sin and death. And this old body will die and it will decay and it will return to dust. And that is all because of sin. But even though my body will die, even though your body will die, you and I will live. We will live. Because we have God's Spirit in us and we have Christ's righteousness on us. And at the resurrection, God's going to give us a new body. And if somebody doesn't say amen to that, then you're not awake. And in that body, we're going to live with Christ forever. Verse 11, if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. What kind of power does it take to raise the dead? Do you have that power? Do you know anyone who has that power? Here on earth? No, only God has the power to give life, to move us from death to life, like Jesus says. The Holy Spirit of God is that power, and what He did for Jesus, He's going to do for you and I. That's the kind of power that is at work in our life to accomplish what God has decided before the creation of the world, that those who are in Jesus are going to be holy and without fault in His eyes. It's a remarkable truth that I never get tired of hearing and I never get tired of speaking about. But there's a couple of more things that need to be said. Verse 12, therefore, brothers and sisters, we do have an obligation. That word could be a duty. We have a duty. It could be a debt. We owe a debt. It could be a covenant. We are in a covenant. We have an obligation, but our obligation is not to the flesh. It is not to this world to live according to it. Our debt isn't to the flesh. Our duty isn't to the flesh. We don't have a covenant with the flesh, but we do have an obligation and a debt to God because He bought us with a price, the price of the blood of His own Son. And so our obligation is to God. What are we obliged to do? This is important in this. What are we obliged to do? We're obliged, the next verse goes on, to say, to put to death the misdeeds of the body. God's always got a part and we've always got a part. We're partners in this. And so what we're obliged to do is to put to death the misdeeds of the body. Okay, but Ken, you started the sermon by saying that it's impossible for us to put to death the misdeeds of the body, that it can't be done. So God is asking us, in fact, obligating us to do something that can't be done. Here's where it's good. God is so good. He is so generous. He is so kind. Verse 13 says, but if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. See, we have this obligation to God to obey Him, to keep His commandments, to say no to sin, to live like Jesus. And God, who gives us or expects that from us, gives us what we need to meet the expectation. He gives us His Spirit to help us do what God has already decided that we're going to do. And through the power of God's Holy Spirit, we can say no to sin. We can't do it in our flesh, but we can do it through the Spirit. It's possible. We can say no to sin. You can actually stop doing things that grieve God, that disappoint Him. And through the Spirit, you won't be sinless, but you can sin less. It's possible. It's one of the most wonderful works that He will ever do in you. Because when He's through, you're going to look like Jesus. That is the glory that will be ours when He returns. It's not just a new physical body. That when we see Him, we will be like Him. But it won't be because of us. It'll all be because of Him. Because of what Jesus did for us. Because of what the Holy Spirit does in us. And that's why it is critical that we receive the Holy Spirit. That's why it is critical that we continually empty ourselves and ask Him to fill us with His Spirit. That's why, church, we've got to say no to flesh and to put away the misdeeds of the body by saying yes to the Spirit. That's why we keep walking with the Spirit. That's why we stay in step with the Spirit. He is our life. And without Him, there is nothing but death. The whole world is going to come to an end. Everything in it that we thought was a treasure is going to be destroyed. What's going to be left is what belongs to God. What's going to make it through the fire is what is built with precious materials. What's going to last is going to be of the Spirit. That's why we need the Spirit. He's our only hope and opportunity for life. We cannot do this without Him. Trying harder on our own will never get us there. Beating ourselves up will never get us there. Summoning up more willpower will never get us there. But joining with Him in the work that He is doing in our life, that'll get us there. Where will it get us? It'll get us to two places that are really, really hard for us to even say out loud. They're really, really hard for us to think the Bible really means. But it'll get us to two places. One of them is in Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. Jesus said, "Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." Can't tell you how many times I've heard people explain this away. Jesus didn't really mean that. Why do we explain it away? Why do we feel that way? Because we know in ourselves, it's impossible for me to be perfect. But Jesus said, be perfect, just as God is perfect. That's one of the places the Holy Spirit is going to get us. Now, it won't completely be in this lifetime, but it will be in the next lifetime. But in this lifetime, it's happening. He's working in us. He's doing it. He's bringing us to perfection. Our lives really do change. We really can say no to sin. We really can sin less. We really can move through the power of the Holy Spirit toward perfection because our Father who created us is perfect. But there's another one. It'll get us to holiness. Through Peter, he said, "But just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. For it is written, 'Be holy because I am holy.'" We are holy in God's eyes. And through the Spirit, He is making us holy because He is holy. And these verses don't make any sense. They've got to be explained away if it depends on me. But these verses make all the sense in the world when I know that it depends on Him. It is something He has decided to do. The one who was perfect, Jesus, will make you perfect through the Spirit living in you and governing your life. And the one who was and is and always will be holy will make you holy through His Holy Spirit living in you and governing your life. I hope that sounds good to you. I hope that sounds like something you want. I hope that sounds like the way you want to live. I hope that makes you want more of His Spirit in your life. See, we don't have to be afraid of God's Spirit. We don't have to be afraid of where He's going to take us. We don't have to be afraid of what He's going to do in us. We don't have to be afraid of what we're going to look like if we give in to the Holy Spirit. Because this is what it looks like. It looks like holiness. It looks like Jesus. It looks like our Father. And it's what He will do in us more and more every day. So that's why we want to receive Him. That's why we ask Him to fill us. That's why we ask Him to do His work in our life. That's why we continually surrender more and more of our life. That's why we empty ourselves of us and of this world. That's why we put away idolatry. That's why we put away the misdeeds of the body. It's why we continually invite Him to make our heart more and more and more and more His dwelling place, not just as a guest who's come in for a few weeks, but as a permanent resident. In fact, let's just sign the deed over to Him, would you? You can do it by giving your life to Christ this morning. You can repent and you can say, you know what? The way I'm walking is headed to death. And doing this stuff on my own is not working. And I admit it and I repent and I turn and I'm going to go in a new direction and I'm going to do it through Jesus. And you believe in Him and who He is and what He has done, and you receive Him, and we're going to take you and we're going to baptize you, because you're going to stand in that water in your flesh full of sin, but you're going to die like Jesus died. And that's all going to be washed away. And you're going to be raised up to new life through the power of the Holy Spirit. He's going to make you a new creation. And from there, He's just going to keep, as you let Him, He's just going to keep filling you. And He's going to keep working through you. And many of us have experienced it and are experiencing it. And then you just walk with Him. And you do it together with this community of faith. You can make that decision today. To no longer be under the law of sin and death. To have that stamp on you of death. But you can be under the law of the Spirit, who has a stamp that says life. And nobody can take it away. Because you are under no condemnation. And He has decided that those who are in Christ, He's going to make them holy. If you're already a disciple, if you've already made that decision, if you've already received the Spirit, if you've already been washed clean of your sins, but you just aren't experiencing victory in your life. Your life, you are in some kind of bondage. You are still, that battle with the flesh is just getting a hold of you, and it's winning more often than you'd like it to. You are not putting to death the misdeeds of the body. That's not a reality in your life. I want to tell you, there's hope. I mean what I'm preaching today. Through the Holy Spirit, you can say no to sin. You can put to death the misdeeds of the body. That it no longer has you in bondage. It no longer has you in chains. And in August, I'm going to be preaching a short series on how some tools, some truths, some steps that you can take to live the kind of life that Romans 8 pictures. A life of freedom. Freedom in Christ. Would you pray with me? Father, I just confess and proclaim this morning that I believe what I've preached. I believe what I read. And I praise You that only because of You I'm experiencing it. And I pray for all of us in this room, Lord, who are in Christ, that we would experience in our lives on a daily, regular basis this truth of what You have decided to do in us to make us holy and to see us in Your eyes without fault. Give us the perseverance, the endurance to keep walking with You every day through this life, trusting and knowing at the end, when You come, everything You've said will be absolutely true about us. And in the meantime, Lord, as we abide with You, as we cling to You, as the branch clings to the vine, as we rest in You, I pray that You would produce this fruit in our life, fruit of holiness. Thank You that You are doing that. And I ask You to do it more and more and more in us. And I ask for that in Jesus' name. Amen.